Let's go to the most, from the least to the most. Let's go to the East Coast and bring in, of course, the Bronx Bomber. I'm talking about Mr. Socrates Palmer, Boxing's 2 PhD. And how are you this week, sir?
I'm doing great, Pedro. How are you feeling?
That's doing just fine. Of course, it looks like the Canelo and Caliplant fight is off. Looks like Caliplant got a little greedy. They decided to switch his fight from DAZN to some type of pay-per-view in order to make sure Caliplant got the money that he wanted, and, of course, Canelo as well, being the top star in boxing. But now Plant has sort of priced himself out. And when I think about fights getting priced out and guys screwing up, I think of Donald Curry and screwing up and losing at welterweight. I think he lost to Lloyd Hunnigan or something like that. And then, of course, Riddick Bowe and Lennox Lewis. Lennox Lewis getting knocked out by Oliver McCall. In other words, these super fights that were scheduled never happened because guys got greedy and or had emotional issues, and they were put off.
Yeah, I mean, you may have a point with that, with the, you know, with those other three fights, Curry and Lennox Lewis, you cited. But I just can't wrap my head around somebody turning down more money than he's ever made before. Like, one thing is if you think that you're getting lowballed, but it's not like you're seeing that type of bread, you know? And Caleb Plant, to me, no, first of all, the legitimacy about him being a world champion is in question. I mean, ooh. I mean, his best win is against who?
Andre Durrell.
Caleb Truax and Ustegi. Yeah. I mean, really? And he's a paper champ in a lot of people's eyes. And him turning down, pricing himself out, you know, asking for just enough to get turned down, you know, it's fishy, you know, and it makes you really question the legitimacy of him being a champion, number one. And number two, what does he hold, you know, as most important? And I'm all for all athletes getting as much money as humanly possible, especially in boxing. But, you know, you're turning down more money than you've ever seen, and the chance of making history. I mean, he's basically coming in as a footnote, like the way Bernard Hopkins was on the Felix Trinidad train, you know, and lo and behold, look, something happened, you know. It derailed, you know, Trinidad's immortalness, which he probably would have got if he was able to have beaten Bernard Hopkins. And Caleb Plant probably has a longer shot of doing doing that to Canelo than Bernard had against Trinidad. But he's turning away the golden ticket. You know, Willy Wonka gave it to him, and he's like, nah, I'm going to go vegan. You know, I don't understand. I don't understand that.
I'm looking at his record. The best guy he's ever beaten, it wasn't Caleb Truex. It was Jose Uzacate.
Ustegi, yeah.
Yeah. How do you say his name?
I'm probably going to say it as messed up as you are. But he's a solid fighter, Ustegi. You know,
I can't even get it close to that, man. So Ustegi, we're going to go with that?
Yeah. I mean, his claim to fame, I think, was – didn't he get sucker punched by – one of the Durrell's uncles or something after he smacked them up?
Yeah, he beat
a couple years ago.
He beat the Durrell, one of the Durrell brothers, not once but twice.
Yeah, Andre, right?
Yeah. And of course, speaking of Andre Ward's going tonight. I'm Andre Ward. Andre Durrell's going tonight. Of course, he's like 27-3 with 17 KOs. Let me tell you.
No,
a little
I'm
bit.
Sorry. It was Anthony Durrell.
Okay, Anthony Durrell. All right, yeah. Andre Durrell is going tonight. Of course, Andre Durrell was the guy that Andre Ward decided they were buddies in the 2004 Olympics. So they were both fighting at 165, and Andre Ward said, tell you what, I'll fight at 178. You can fight at 165 so we can both get medals, Andre and Andre. Well, it didn't happen for Andre Durrell at 165, but Andre Ward helps upset all kinds of apple carts when he beat up those bigger guys at 178.
Once again, believing in yourself and taking a chance, you know, for greatness. That's why Andre Ward may not have been the box office star, but true boxing insiders are going to look at him as one of the all-time greats.
Smart. I mean, I think he outthought himself as far as getting a promoter's concern. I think he did the bad move with going. I love Dan Goosen. Before I say it, I'm not going to say anything bad about Dan Goosen. I nicknamed him Big Bird. He had a picture on his office wall of him choking me Michael Nunn choking me with him in the background. I mean, so we were really, really, really semi-tight. So I'm not knocking him. But I think that Andre Ward should have probably went with Don King and or Bob Arum when he broke out of the Olympics in 2004. Instead, he sort of went he sort of went the low road instead of the high road, and I think that sort of shortened his money making ability.
I would agree with that. I mean, and a lot of other people would probably agree to that also. Dan, very nice guy. He was very nice, cordial every time I was around him. But he wasn't the big leagues compared to Top Rank. And although, you know, Don is, you're doing, you know, the deal with the devil, so to speak, but definitely he knows how to make a name of a fighter. And with Andre Ward, I'm not saying he would have been Sugar Ray Leonard or Oscar De La Hoya, but he certainly would have capitalized off of that gold medal.
You know, one of the Goosen kids, I can't remember, actually, I don't want to name him. One of the Goosen kids, Dan's son, really took issue with me because I called his father Big Bird. And he thought I was making fun of him like he was like in the Sesame Street cartoon. And I wasn't. Is that he was head of the Goosen flock. There was like 9 of them. And he was the head of it. So he is like Big Bird, the Big Bird in the Goosen flock. You know what I'm saying? But the kid got ticked off about it. Finally, I had to tell him where to go. Dan didn't have a problem. Dan didn't have a problem, and the kid had a problem with it.
And Dan was had to be over 6 feet, right? I mean, yeah,
he was a big, bro. Wasn't an athletic guy. He was just a big guy. You know, I remember when he was doing his tricks with America Presents and Matt Tinley in Colorado. That he did that for a while, and of course, that's where he signed David Reed coming out of the 1996 Olympics. David Reed was a flop. To an extent, is that a fair assumption for me to say that David Reed was a flop as a professional? He did win a title.
He did win a title, and he was involved in one of the best fights of the decade, him and Trinidad. I think he was handicapped. You know, he got them, you know, with his eye. Who knows if he doesn't have that ailment? I remember him, and he had that Olympic moment when he beat the Cuban. You know, I think it's a little harsh. I think David Reed got the most out of what his body was going to give him, and he was never the same after the Trinidad fight. And it was a tremendous back and forth fight.
You know, I worked a lot with him in his developmental stages. He didn't have that many fights. I think he only had about 15, 18 fights. But in the early on, in the prelim stages, he was a wonderful guy to be around. And it was tough with the eye injury. And we're describing something on the radio and/or. Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA video channel. But what I'm trying to tell you is when I talk about the eye, is that one eye was like partially shut. And it was just that was like a permanent fixture. And I think they tried to get surgery on it. It didn't work, this and that. So that's why they rushed him into the fight with Trinidad. They would have actually, much like Fernando Vargas, rushed him into the Trinidad fight because of timing and money. In other words, they didn't think that his eye would hold up for a couple more fights. They didn't think Vargas could stay out of jail for a couple more fights.
That's right. Spot on. You're right on, Pedro. There was definitely concerns about Fernando at some point in his life. Very immature. I remember he had an incident. He almost got locked up for beating up, I don't know, an ex-boyfriend of his now wife or something to that extent. You have to, it's like when you're at the blackjack table, you got to know when to hit and when to go. And those are wise moves by those promoters, you know. Fernando basically got old overnight, and you know, but once again, he was that fight against Trinidad again. Wow, there's like the third reference, one of the best fights of the era.
You know,
he survived that first round.
Yeah, his downfall was ketchup. He put ketchup on everything. He loved ketchup. I mean, he just loved ketchup. Actually, I was looking at a film the other day, and I don't know if I was Fernando Vargas, I'd be putting this on YouTube. In fact, I think I'd like to ban it if I was Fernando Vargas Sr. It's that videotape of Fernando Vargas Jr. thinking he's like, I don't know, beyond Cassius Clay. He's fighting guys that like, I'm telling you, the guys that Fernando Vargas Jr. are fighting, it looks like you went into an office building and got this guy out of an office building and put boxing gloves on him, except he's got a brown face. So he might have been a janitor.
You know, he's got two boys that are boxing. I think two have turned pro. They, you know, only time will tell. You know,
I'm going to go on the record right now because Hector and I are going on the record together, okay? Fernando Vargas Jr. should be arrested for impersonating a Vargas. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. Back with boxing's PhD, Soccer News Bomber, after the break. Live, of course, on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel.
tired of you trying to tell me what's wrong and what's right.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC. Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council, right here on Sports Byline.
Speaking of WBC, the president of the World Boxing Council, Mr. Mauricio Sulaiman. Yeah, I got that straight. I didn't say Jose. Mauricio Sulaiman will be on tomorrow's show, the first hour of Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. That's 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern time. Or 1 p.m. in Mexico City. That's when it's vital as far as getting him on the air, because he's coming to us from Mexico City. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. You're inside looking through the world of boxing, MMA. I may repeat myself here, but the USA secured its first medal in Deontay Johnson, grabbing a welterweight medal. Looks like he's going to get a bronze by being routed. He lost to Cuban Ronnie Iglesias. I think he was a 2012 Olympic gold medalist or a 2016 Olympic gold medalist. Anyway, bottom line is the Olympics are rocking and rolling. And guess who wants to come back? Let me mention this. I think it was September 2004. I'm in Oklahoma, Shawnee, Oklahoma. I'm doing this fight on an Indian reservation at a casino, I think, like that. Tony Holden said he wasn't involved, although I thought he hired me. Anyway, bottom line is Riddick Bowe was going to take on Marcus Rohde. Marcus Rohde was a guy that would fight people with HIV. He would go across the pond. Marcus Rohde would do anything for a buck. And he couldn't fight much anyway, but he was tough. So anyway, they have this main event, and Riddick Bowe, the former heavyweight champion of the world, is in one side of the ring, and he didn't show up at the weigh-in. Okay, first of all, that was a bad sign. He didn't show up at the weigh-in. And then he had this robe on, and he had these big old cheeks, and he looked really fat. I mean, I'm just trying to be, he really, really looked fat. So I didn't get his weight. So I had to wait to the other guy. You know, I'm sitting there, the ring announcer, and I'm looking it down at Robert Middleman, who the New York City booking agent, matchmaker, was sitting there ringside. I remember him. I'm looking down at it, and I said, oh, I don't have his weight. So I'll go over and ask Riddick Bowe for his weight. So I go over and ask Riddick Bowe for his weight. He goes, tell people, 251. I said, 251? So I'm saying to myself, this guy doesn't weigh 251. I said, the right side of his body might weigh 251. He's like close to 300 pounds, if not more. Bottom line is, he was around 285, 288. We never got his official weight. He did meet Marcus Rohde in the second round, as was predicted. And now he wants to come back and do an exhibition. Evidently, him and Paulie Malignaggi, the former Showtime boxing announcer, of course, the junior welterweight champion, a kid that came to stardom on this show as far as his oratory skills are concerned. He wants to make a comeback as well. We've got Oscar De La Fishnets making a comeback, of course, against Vitor Belfort. And, of course, the saying on the show is size matters in two things, pornography and combat sports. I got to ask you this, Socrates. Vitor Belfort is a big, big dude, and Anderson Silva beat Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. basically by size about a month ago. Same thing.
Yeah, but, there's a discipline and a skills difference between Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. and Oscar De La Hoya. But you're right. Vito is a naturally bigger guy. He is physically strong. Let's see what happens, when you put gloves on and if he has the stamina that it takes to chase Oscar around, because that's what I figure. Oscar's going to be on his bike most of the time, but those are 40-something-year-old legs. So it's going to be interesting when Oscar has to plant down and actually fight this guy and see if his reaction, because I'm sure that Oscar's fought far better competition throughout his life, but not at this stage in his life.
Belfort's 44, Oscar's 52.
Wow, he's already 50. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, well, 1992 Olympic gold medalist, that was, 30 years ago.
Wow, yeah, it's let's see, one thing is to be in shape, and then the other thing is to be in condition. There's two different things. One thing is to look nice in your clothes, when you go out on a Saturday night, but to step into a ring and keep your hands up for 3 minutes and not get hurt is a totally different ball game. Oscar's ego is very large. It's probably the only thing bigger than his bank account. We just hope he doesn't get hurt.
Well, or his collection of panties.
Ouch.
Well, yeah, come on. The, listen, I wouldn't say anything that's not factual on the air. Believe me, I wouldn't, especially with Oscar De La Hoya, who I respect greatly as a fighter. And he's a pretty good father and a husband, that kind of good stuff. I guess. I don't know. I get into his personal life. But the bottom line is he did get caught wearing some skimpy clothing that is usually worn by the opposite sex. Did I say that right?
I think you really gave the audience a good picture in their mind. Yes. A picture's worth 1,000 words, right?
Okay, De La Hoya hasn't been around since, like, I guess 2008 when Manny Pacquiao ran him into the ground. Speaking of Manny Pacquiao, he and Errol Spence getting ready to make it a real deal, no doubt about that. Of course, Errol Spence still the betting favorite. Manny Pacquiao still in the minds of so many people. You know, I was talking with Hector and a couple of people over the weekend, last weekend, we're talking boxing. And the bottom line is, it would be great, 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 absolutely great for the game if Manny Pacquiao won. But he's probably not gonna, is he?
Yeah, I mean, if you're rooting for Manny Pacquiao, like I am, I'll be very honest with you. You know, I try to be objective on these airways, but out of nostalgia, I will be rooting for the old man. But of course, it'll be tremendous for the sport. I mean, because Manny Pacquiao is still a global star, something that Errol Spence isn't. And if Errol Spence wins, how much does it do for his career? You know, okay, he beat an old Manny Pacquiao. That's what people are going to say, you know, and especially if he wins and doesn't stop Manny Pacquiao. I mean, why wouldn't any other top welterweight line up at the door, say, let me get a shot at this guy? You know, so I think Errol Spence has everything to lose in this fight. You know, Manny's playing with house money, you know, and yeah, he has been knocked out viciously once before by Raul Marquez. I don't know if that's going to happen, you know, because Errol Spence doesn't have that type of punching power. He's a physically big guy. He's going to come in, I'm sure, with a mindset that I'm going to walk this guy down. But what's going to happen when he sees hand speed that he's never seen before? That's what people don't understand. Well, I'm sure they do understand, but Manny Pacquiao's hand speed at this age is still elite. And he comes jumping around from all angles. Yeah, he could get caught, you know, and fall flat in his face like he did against Marquez. But I don't think Errol Spence is as good as Marquez. And I still have doubts of Errol Spence's body recovering from that horrific car accident that he suffered. Because he basically had a glorified sparring session against Danny Garcia, who had no intent of winning that fight. You know, so this is going to be his first real fight in a couple of years, probably since the Porter fight.
Not only is Pacquiao going to be fast, it's opposite speed. What I mean by opposite is you train your entire life for an orthodox fighter for the most part. That's who you spar in the gym. And even if you spend some time with left-handers, and I did, having done some left-handed boxing myself, you never really get used to it. But the bottom line is Manny's that left-handed stance, he can just shoot shots from different angles, little uppercuts, this and that. And if Spence leaves his chin out there, good night, good night.
And he's a physically strong dude. He's short, but he's compact strength. I mean, he's got calves as big as heavyweights. If anyone's ever seen Manny Pacquiao in person, he's a strong guy. And yeah, he hasn't fought in a while, but you know what? When you're older, less is more. You know, you give your body a chance to heal itself properly, and the muscle memory, and also the experience of being in the spotlight is an intangible that helps the older fighter. I mean, I'm thinking back of some of the older guys that have upset young and up and comers, Duran against Barkley, Larry Holmes against Ray Mercer. It can happen.
You know what Iran Barkley's told me when I met him?
What?
I said, my name is Pedro Fernandez. I'm with Flash Magazine. He says, although my name is Iran, I never did.
The Blade.
Period.
Yes.
I was like, oh, you just knocked out Tommy Hearns. Anyway, all the best. You have a great week. Say hello to the family. We really appreciate your time here, sir.
I appreciate you having me on. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, sir.
Boxing's PhD, Mr. Socrates Palmer, features Saturday on Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. Speaking of WBC, we'll have the president of the World Boxing Council in tomorrow's show, Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, live here on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, Channel 217, and of course, live on Sports Byline USA's Twitch channel, twitch.tv. This is Ring Talk.